We're in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts, starting with verse number 7. We're really uncovering a lot of really neat things in history and the Bible. The Bible is very important on a person's education. You may not know this, but in the 1800s and early 1900s, if you were going to become a doctor or a lawyer, mostly a doctor and even a lawyer, there wasn't a lot of really law school you went to. You just had to perform to a certain extent. But one thing that they wanted to know in each area in America, you had to have a doctorate in the Bible, a Ph.D. They believed a biblical education was the foundation of all learning, of all medicine, of all law, because the Bible is the foundation of all law. Mankind may want to replace it or supplant it with something else, but the Bible is the foundation of all true law. Now, we're going to meet some characters here in the 18th chapter of the book of Acts that really play a large role in history. A large role in history. And I have a little book here that I want to introduce you to. It's the book of Bible names. And this will help you in your study quite a little bit. In as you study the Word of God, you'll run into different people. And this little book here tells you about the names of the people in the Bible. And a lot of times you will learn a lot about history, learn about why people think. You'll learn about the mistakes of mankind and all of this in history. There was a very famous Roman ruler, Nero, that began real well. His career began very well. His mother pushed him toward the top to become Caesar, and he started off really well, mainly because of one man. A very brilliant philosopher in Roman history. His name was Seneca. And Seneca's brother is introduced to us in this chapter in the Bible. Seneca's brother, and his brother was Galileo, not Galileo, but Galileo. Now, Paul is beginning a ministry. And we find out that he is making some progress with some of the Jews in the city. But he's having a lot of problems with some others. Now let's see in what world's happening here. We have these biblical characters here. We're going to run into some other ones here. Chi Metabos, Icathan, Aselthane, Ace, Oikeon, Tinos, Onomati, Tition, Eusto, Sibomenu, Tontio, Hu, He, Oikia, Ain, Sina, Mor, Rusa, Te, Synagogen. And it says, having removed from there, Paul left. And he went into a different place. He went into a different place, and now he's going to go to another synagogue still. And he went into a house of a certain one by the name of Titus Justus. Titus Justus. The word title, Titus, means title or name. When you see the word Titus on the front of them, the Titus Caesar, Titus whatever, that means they're very high up, it means a royal name. It's the Gaius Titus or something like that, Titus Caesar or whatever. This man's name was Titus Justus, and Justus is Latin. Justus and Julius, these names, it means justice. It means righteousness and justice. Titus Justus, a very nice title for a name. And he's worshiping. He's worshiping for himself the God. Not the God of the Jews or whatever, but God himself. Of whom the house kept on being next to the synagogue. This man is a very prominent man in this city, and he's a prominent man in this area. And his house is right next up against a synagogue. Now we'll meet another person here now. His name is Crispus. We get our name Crisp from this name. What is Crisp? Sharon, when you think of something crisp, what do you think of?
Crunchy.
What's that?
Crunchy.
Potato chips?
Yeah.
Potato chips? When you go into a place and said, I want my French fries really crispy, sharp. In other words, they're crispy. When you chew on them, they go crunch. It means, and it's a Latin word too, by the way, and get our word crisp right out of this word. And it means to be sharp or like a rock. It'll break up like a rock or something real crisp. You can take great big rocks and make little bitty rocks. You remember the old chain gangs? They would go out there and they would take a sledgehammer and they would go by a road and they'd have a whole lot of boulders. And the road would be made out of clay or something, and they would break these great big boulders up into gravel, and they would spread the gravel on the road, and that's what the chain gangs did in the South, in the what we call penitentiary gangs, chain gangs. And they break those big rocks, into crisp little tiny rocks. Now you have fine salt, and you have crisp salt or large salt, don't you? The extra crispy salt. That's what this word crisps comes from. Crispus. Mover Crispus. Crispus de ho archir o synagoges. Epi stusen. Tu curio. Sin holo. To oiko auto kai me, poloi. Ton. Corinthion, acuontes, epistion, kai, e baptizonto. It said, moreover, that little weak adversity conjunctive particle there, day, moreover, Crispus, the synagogue ruler, that means the head of the synagogue, archison agoges. He believed. Now, by the way, how long does salvation take? What is the action of salvation? How long does salvation take? How long does it take to get you saved?
Instantly.
It's punctiliar action, isn't it? Punctiliar knife blade action. And that's what it says here. He believed, and in this word he believed there, it means that he repented, that he believed, that he trusted all at one point of time and his first errors, which is the sharpest point of time in punctiliar action that you can think of. He believed tenaciously, completely, and once and for all in the Lord with all the household of him. And many of the Corinthians also, all around this area in Corinth and all the surrounding little suburbs of Corinth, hearing the word hearing, and they kept on believing, and these people kept on being dipped. They kept on being immersed. They kept on being baptized. You're baptized not for the remission of sins, but because of the remission of sins, aren't you? You're baptized because of the remission of sins, not to become saved, but because you're saved. All right, verse number 9 now. Epe de ho kyrios en nikte di oramatos to palo me phobo ala lale kai me sio peses. And the Lord said during the night, through a onomate, through this vision, through this hypnotic trance, to Paul. And then he said here a little particle of negation there. Me phobu. Not you fear, but, strong adversative conjunction here, but you speak. And you kept on speaking here. You speak and you keep on speaking. And don't you be silent. Don't you be afraid. Speak up the word and tell the truth. In some places and sometimes, truth doesn't matter, does it? Does it? And sometimes in history, truth hasn't mattered. Truth has not mattered. But Paul, you speak the truth. Two times in Paul's life, his life was terminated. Once he was stoned to death. And another time, he was beheaded in Rome. But he said, don't worry. I'm going to get you to the end. Now, I have faced death several times since we've been married, haven't I, Marilyn? Mm-hmm. I was pronounced with cancer. And it was a bad, aggressive cancer. Prostate cancer. And I had a radical operation and radiation, chemotherapy, which all like to kill me. And it was not easy to go on. I was weak and I was sick and very discouraged. But I knew one thing, that I was going to preach all the life that I had in me left. Well, it took years, but I got a little better. And then I was poisoned with arsenic and mercury intentionally by people that thought I was trying to take their money from them, that what didn't even exist, Marilyn's family. And they gave me 2 months to live. Well, I just kept on preaching. And I lost my eyesight up close. I had to have people read my Bible for me. I never even told you that, did I, Sherry?
No,
I didn't. I had people come up and read the Bible for me. I could read from my interlinear because the letters I have written by hand are very tall. But I couldn't read my Bible. And I memorized that I would go from the Greek and I'd have somebody else read it to me from English because I couldn't read the Bible. Well, I just kept on doing that. Kept on getting up and kept on going. I tried to tell those people there wasn't any money, but they didn't believe it. Did I lie to them? There wasn't any money, was there, Marilyn? No money. No money. But they thought they were entitled to something that didn't even exist. All right, and they said, then the Lord kept on speaking to Paul in night. He said, don't you fear, but speak out. You speak out, and do not you be silent. This sio peses. Do not be silent. Do not be muzzled. Verse number 10 now, it says, diote ego emi meta si kai udes. Epithesite. Si tu kakuse si diote laos esti moe polis en te poli taute. Because I am with you, and not one person shall set upon you. No. You know, you look on television and you'll see these wrestlers out there, and one of them always wants to get on top and set on the other one. He said, don't worry about it, because nobody is going to wrestle you down and pin you to the mat. It's not going to happen. He uses this wrestling term. Nobody is going to set upon you and pin you down. and the evil, the bad treatment that is done to you, because I have many people, much people and many people in this city. Now, some of them didn't believe yet, but they were going to believe, weren't they? Now, let's go on a little bit further. Verse number 11. At Cathason, they in Naton, Kai, Menos, Ex, Didaskon, and Atois, Ton, Logon, Tuthiu. Then it said, and he set a year and 6 months. That is the 1.5 years. This is a year and 6 months. This is 18 months that he preached in this area, teaching them the Word of God. The Word of God. Now, let's look at the Word of God for a moment. How much of the Bible did they have at that time? You know? What was the Bible that these people had? The Old Testament. So he taught the Old Testament, and he taught the Old Testament to them, trying to prove to them and show to them how that Jesus was the fulfillment of Genesis 3:15, Isaiah 53, Psalm 22, etc., Malachi, every place from Genesis through Malachi, that he's a fulfillment of the coming Messiah. He preached the Old Testament. Right now, we're receiving the New Testament because the words that Paul is speaking are being written down here by Luke, the physician. The book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke, and the book of Acts are both written by Luke. Now we come to a famous name. Gallionus. De Anthropato Ontas Tes Archaeos Kata Pesel Homothimadon Oi Judaeon To Paulo Kai Egegon Auton Epito Bema. The Bema. This word, this is named Galileo. It's not Galileo, but Galileo. Galileo and Galileo mean basically the same thing. How many of you remember what Galileo and Gamaliel and all of these names mean? You remember what this name means? Any of you?
Sure.
Huh?
Circle.
It means gift of God.
A gift of God.
And also, it also means one who sucks or lives on milk. Gala. Milk. In Greek. It comes from two different origins. It means milk. The Milikans, the Russians that drank milk. The milk drinkers, what it means. That word comes from this right here too. This word gala. It means one who lives or sucks on milk. Now he was born in Cordoba, Spain, about 5 BC. He lived till 65 AD. So he's about 70 years old. Now one very important thing about this man is his brother. Now this man was a representative of the Roman Senate. He was a Roman consul. His name was Lucius Annius Annaeus Novatus Galileo. That's a long title. Lucius Janus Annius Novatus Galileo. Now, his brother was a very important man. His brother's name was Seneca. America today is run by a lot of young people. Twitter, Facebook, a lot of these great massive media are ruled by, controlled by very young people. Very young people. Now, I made a statement here a while back. I got old and wise because when I was young and dumb, God took care of me and protected me. A lot of times young people think that they're smarter than their elders. I'm 3/4 of a century old. I've been around a long time. Marilyn, do you know anybody that studied history more than me?
No.
I studied history because I believe that if a man doesn't study history, he's a fool and he might repeat it. We've seen things in history go over and over and over and over again. What's happening in America today happened in Rome and happened in the Grecian Empire and happened in the Babylonian Empire, the Assyrian Empire, and the Egyptian Empire. Young people need to listen to young older people. Galileo's brother Seneca was a very important man in the Roman Empire. He was a philosopher and a teacher, a scribe and a scholar. And one of his students was Nero. When Nero was very young, he followed the advice of Seneca. And as long as he followed the advice of Seneca, everything went fine. Do you remember in the Bible Jeroboam and Rehoboam? You remember that story? Jeroboam and Rehoboam? What was the big problem with Jeroboam and Rehoboam? Rehoboam was a son of Solomon. And Solomon was a very wise man and suddenly started leaning to the vices of the world. Then he became a very dumb man, a very stupid man. He made a lot of stupid mistakes and he wrote and he said, all of the pleasures of life are nothing. It's all vanity. That man had tried drugs and alcohol. He tried wisdom and knowledge. He said, in the study of books, as much weariness. It just wore him plumb out. And he had, how many wives did he have? He had quite an assortment. How many wives did Solomon have?
75.
He had 1,001 wives. You have to count Bathsheba, or not Sheba, but Sheba, the Queen of Sheba. You have to count the Queen of Sheba also, which had a child by him, which Haile Selassie is supposedly a descendant, as he said, and those are the black Jews. Seneca taught Nero. And Seneca was a very important man in the Roman Empire as long as Nero followed his advice. You don't have to be old to be stupid. You don't have to be young to be stupid. But young people haven't gone through much experience. I've seen some very dumb old people because they never learned anything. They just kind of wandered through life. You can wander through life for 60 or 70 or 80 years and still be dumb as dirt when you are, and the dumb as a box of rocks when you leave this world. Most of those dumb people at 80 never listened to the elders when they were young. That's the problem. Now, don't listen to every elder, but listen to an elder that knows something. Be critical of your learning. In America, in the 60s, 70s, and 80s, they basically tried to rewrite American history. And now, today, all of the people that gave their lives and fought in wars and died to make this country what it is, now many of them have become villains of society. America has made many, many, many mistakes in the past, haven't they? But they're making a whole lot of them right now, more than ever, because of lack of wisdom. Lack of wisdom. Nero, as long as he followed Seneca's advice, everything went smoothly in the Roman Empire. The elders, the senators, everything that were old, him, much older, they were listening to him because he had wise advice. Solomon in the Old Testament was looked upon as the wisest man of the whole earth. But his excesses destroyed his knowledge. Rehoboam and Jeroboam. Rehoboam, his elders told him, listen, your father has put great weight on these people and taxes. You have to realize that the nation of Israel in Solomon's time was paying about at least 50 to 60% of taxes. 50 to 60% of all their labors, whether it was direct or indirect, went to Solomon's glory. And the elders told Rehoboam, tell the people that you're going to lessen their burdens, that you're going to lower their taxes, that you're going to give them more freedom than they ever had before. And Rehoboam, these people will follow you to the end of the earth if you do that. Just be honest with them. Be fair with them. But Rehoboam began to listen to the youngster gangsters, so to speak. And Rehoboam, the advice the gangsters, the young people said to him was what? Tell them that your little finger is stronger than your father's thigh. Tell them that he put taxes on you. I'm going to put lashes on you. I am going to really raise your taxes. I am going to make you bow down and say, wow, and say, uncle. And then the elders told him, don't do that, don't do that, don't do it, whatever you do. If you want to have a peaceful reign, if you want to do something, respect them. Respect them. Respect those people. And they will follow you. But what did Rehoboam do? He told Israel, he said, my father's burdens were nothing compared to what I'm going to put on you. I am going to be mightier than my father ever was. I will be stronger. I am going to sign a lot of edicts, so to speak. And you're going to follow them or you're going to die. And what happened? Jeroboam took 10 tribes away from him. As the prophet said, they took a piece of cloth and they ripped it in half. They ripped it in half. Israel was not united again. Israel was not united again until much, much money, many, many years later. And moreover, Galileo, the proconsul, he was a proconsul, Roman proconsul in 55 A.D., and he was governor of all Achaia in 51 A.D. Galileo, the proconsul being of Achaia, they sat down with one mind. The Jews. They sat down with him with one mind, just like they had with Jesus. Remember what they did to Jesus? They brought him before Pontius Pilate, and five times Pontius Pilate pronounced him innocent, and they were guilty. Now, Galileo here is not going to cave in. And the Jews set upon Galileo with one mind, and they brought Paul before him, before the bema, the judgment seat. Verse number 13. Logontes hote paraton nomon anapaithe houtos tous anthropous se baste ton theon. And he's saying this, beside all of this different things, he's bringing the different law. And he urges, this one man urges men all over to worship God differently. To worship God differently. That's what he said. This man is trying to get people to walk away from our religion and worship God differently, in a different way. Now let's go back and read this from the Amplified in verse number 7 and get us up here to where we are. And he departed from there, and he went into the house of a certain man named Titus. And Titus, justice means what? He's a very important just man, a worshiper of God, whose house was next door, right up against the synagogue. And Crispus, the leader of the synagogue, believed in the Lord Jesus Christ with all his household, and many of the Corinthians, when they heard, were believing and being baptized. And I'm telling you, to see a Jew being baptized by a Christian was a real insult to a Jew. The Jews thought they were the cleanest people in the world. And they went and they baptized themselves to show that they were clean. Jesus told Nicodemus he needed to be baptized. He needed to be born again. That his religion was kaput. That Jesus came and fulfilled it. And now the Lord said to Paul in the night, by a vision, a hypnotic trance, do not be afraid any longer. But go on speaking and do not be silent, for I am with you, and no man will attack you. And literally to pin you down is what it said. Nobody's going to pin you down, for I have many people in this city. And he settled there a year and 6 months in teaching the word of God among them. Then he says, but while Galileo was proconsul of Achaia, and the Jews with one accord, with one mind, rose up against Paul and brought him before the judgment seat, saying, this man persuades men to worship God contrary to the law, against the law. Against the law. Verse number 14 now, Melontes de to Paulu, anogain to stoma, epen ho galion pros tus judeas, amen ein adikme, ti e radiug vadiorg gema, porneron ho or o judea kata logon on Anescomen himon. And Paul, being about to open his mouth, he said to Galileo and to the Jews, if indeed, or since indeed, it was a crime or some other villainy, look at that word, radiug. Ma, Ragi Ugma. That word, that means to be an outlaw. It means to be a malefactor. It means to be an insurrectionist. If I was a villain, a malefactor, and an evil person, this word porneron. Porneron means a word pornography comes from it. It means to be a total type of reprobate. A type of reprobate behavior, homosexuality comes from this word, promiscuity, idolatry, all of them is from this source of this word. O Jews, according to the word, according to the right word, according to the word of God, according to the true teachings of God, I have kept on enduring you. I have kept on enduring you. Because of the word of God, I've kept on enduring you. Now let's go on to verse number 15. Ede zetomata esten perilogu kai onomaton kai nomon tu kathimas opeste autoi krites ego tuto u bulamai ene. And these questions, these zealous debates concerning the word and the names and the law, according to you all, see to yourselves. See to it yourselves. I will not judge these things, nor do I wish to judge them. This is not a Roman extension of the law, but a Jewish interpretation of Jewish law. Don't come and bring me your Jewish superstitions. Take care of that yourself. Leave me alone and be gone. Verse number 16. Kai apelasin autus apa tu bematos. And he drove them away. He drove them away like cattle. They whipped them out of the tribunal, the judgment seat. They were run off. Verse number 17. This is our last verse in this message. Epi labomenoi de pontes sostenein ton archeunasogogone etuk ton emprosten tu bematos kai ute tauta to galileoni emelin. Now these rascals, these Jews, they seized, having seized Sosthenes. Sosthenes means their safety and strength. Now, the first head man, or the first head of the synagogue, was who? Of this same synagogue. His name was Crispus, wasn't it? And now, they have appointed another head or leader of the synagogue, and this leader of the synagogue has now been converted to Christianity. They're double mad. Real mad. It's all Paul's fault. You ever heard of that? All Paul's fault. I want to ask you something. The rioting from coast to coast for the last year, whose fault was that? The rioting from coast to coast for a whole year, whose fault was it? Whose fault was it? To make good look bad and to make bad look good? To make good look bad and bad look good? Something's wrong someplace. How many lives, how many businesses have been destroyed in the last year? How many? How many people have been murdered in this nation? Because of an argument over what truth is. I guarantee you one thing, rioting never solves what truth is. Rioting never solves what truth is. Murdering and killing never solves what truth is. Sometimes we have wars to protect us from other people. A lot of times we have senseless, stupid wars to pad people's pocketbooks. And we've had plenty of that in America. We've gone out and seized other governments. Do we really believe in democracy? Do we really? When we go seize another government and try to set up a puppet democracy, like they're going to have Thomas Jefferson there on the throne from there on, and it never happened? No. Now they were mad. So they get the closest victim to them. And his name is Sosthenes. Their safety and strength. Well, now he is, he's what? A victim. Sosthenes is a victim now. How much of the world is a victim to totalitarian dictatorships in the world? How much of the world is a victim to this? Here we have Galileo. We have Gaius converted. We have Paul there. And the people that are trying to help, the people are trying to bring truth to them. They're persecuting. They're trying to kill. Trying to destroy. Sosthenes, the synagogue ruler, they kept on beating him, striking him in front of the judgment seat, the tribunal. And none of these things to Galileo even mattered. He didn't want to have anything to do with these people. You know what happened to the Jewish people? They said, "Let his blood be upon us and our children." You know what happened to them? The man that was Barabbas, you remember who Barabbas was? Give us Barabbas, give us Barabbas. Barabbas was an insurrectionist. And they turned the insurrectionist loose, and Jesus Christ died on that cross in place of that insurrectionist. And by the way, we're the all that insurrectionist. That insurrectionist stood for us. Jesus was our substitute. But that insurrectionist went on and was one of the leaders in the what we might call the Herodian fortress, Masada. Now, how bad was the Masada? The Roman government had tried to deal with these Jews for many, many years. He was still trying to deal with these Jews right here. Jesus looked over from the Mount of Olives, looking over to the city of Jerusalem, and they said, "Look how beautiful that temple is. Look how beautiful place we have here." And Jesus said, "Not many days from now, there won't be one stone left upon another stone in that city." Why? Because of this type of rebellion right here. They wouldn't listen. The God of heaven spoke to them and they wouldn't listen. The Son of God came down and spoke to them and they murdered him. And what happened? The Sicarii, the zealots kept on going out and killing Roman soldiers and sneaking back into the Herodium there at Masada and getting back there and then thumbing their nose at them and sticking their tongue out and saying, "Bleh, bleh, 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 bleh." They did that and they did that, and finally the 10th Roman legion came in there and said, "We're going to kill every one of those rascals." They built a rampart up there, all the way up. The 10th Roman Legion built a rampart. And one of those Sicarii would kill one Jew and they'd kill 10 or 100. And their bodies lay all out there because they said, "Let this blood be upon us and our children. Give us Barabbas." All the way. Now here, this is only about 25 years away. This destruction of Israel is only 25 years away, and they're still thumbing their nose at God, and they're still fighting God and wanting to kill God's men. Paul went into the synagogue trying to preach Jesus Christ and Him crucified. Said, "He is a fulfillment of the law. I'm preaching the law to you. I'm preaching the same law you're reading, but you're looking at it and interpreting by the Mishnah and the Talmud." And Jesus said, "You err following the traditions of your fathers. You err." What a terrible thing to see a nation scattered all over the world. They scattered the Jews. They sold those Jews so cheap that people would take a Jew and work him, not feeding him, just work him till he died, and then get another one and work him until he died, not feeding them. That's what happened in the concentration camps, you know. And now we are going to teach the world that the concentration camps really didn't exist. that the totalitarian dictatorship really didn't happen? We teach that wrong is right and right is wrong. What happened to Israel because of that? What happened to Israel? Israel was scattered all over the world, but only by the grace of God that there are any of them left alive in the world. It's only by the grace of God, and He's going to call them back into that land one of these days. And they're going to all be destroyed in the last days, and then they're going to cry upon God, and they're going to see Jesus coming down with the holes in His wrist and His feet and the hole in His side. And they said, "Where did you get those wounds?" He said, "In the house of my friends." And then they're going to cry out as one cried out for their only begotten Son when they saw Him crucified. How many Jews have seen their mothers and fathers die and their children die in the last 2,000 years because of the decisions that were made right then? The stubbornness and the hard-headed and the stiff-necked people. I've tried to deal with Jewish people. Marilyn's heard me try to deal with these people and said, "I don't believe in Jesus." Spit. Spit when they speak His name. And yet, there's only one name under heaven and earth whereby we must be saved. For God sent His only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in Him shall not perish but have everlasting life. For God so loved the world. He loves you. He wants to love you. It says, "In the fullness of time, God sent forth His Son, made of a woman, made under the law, that He might redeem us that were cursed under that law." A lot of people think, "Well, I'm not so bad. I'm going to get to heaven." Well, I'm going to tell you something. We're all dirt. We're all no good. We're all sinners. The only way we get to heaven is by the grace of God. Let's go back and read these last few verses one last time from the Amplified Bible. Crispus, the believer of the synagogue, believed that Jesus is Messiah and acknowledged Him with joyful trust and savor and Lord, together with his entire household and many of the Corinthians, who listened to Paul also, believed and were baptized. And one night the Lord said to Paul in a vision, "Have no fear, but speak out and do not keep silent, for I am with you, and no man will be able to pin you down and overcome you, for I have many people in this city." So he settled down among them for a year and 6 months. 18 months. Concerning the attainment through Jesus Christ of eternal salvation in the kingdom of God. But when Galileo pronounced proconsul of Achaia, most of Greece, the Jews unitedly made an attack upon Paul and brought him before the judge's seat. We know that they had done this in Jerusalem also at another time, declaring this fellow as advising and inducing and exciting people to worship God in a violation of the law of Moses. And when Paul was about to open his mouth to reply, Galileo said to the Jews, "If it were a matter of some misdemeanor or villainy, O Jews, I should have come to bear with you and listen. But since it's merely a question of doctrine, of practices, of customs, about words and names and your own law, see to it yourselves. I decline to be a judge of such matters, and I have no intention of trying such cases ever." And he drove them away, violently drove them away from the judgment seat. And then they, the Greeks, all seized Sosthenes, the leader of the synagogue, and beat him right in front of the judgment seat. But Galileo paid no attention to any of this. Well, there's the story, people. The story of rebellion, isn't it? A story of rebellion. A story of what we might call totalitarian deafness. They did not want to hear. They did not want to see. Jesus came to this world and did hundreds of miracles to prove he was Messiah. He raised the dead. He cured the blind, which was a messianic credential only for him. He died on the cross of Calvary and was raised the third day. He fulfilled the scriptures from Genesis through Malachi, and yet they did not want to believe. The leaders they killed. In Acts, the 7th chapter, they stoned Stephen and then bit him with their teeth. Chewed on him like a dog, because they were dogs. They had turned like Gentiles. Many of the Gentiles were believing. And then we're come down to this period of time in Corinth, in the area of Corinth, the suburbs of Corinth, where Paul is preaching and they're wanting to kill him. They're wanting to beat him. They're wanting to crucify him. They weren't done that they were guilty of crucifying the Son of God, the King of Glory. You know, Stephen, when he preached to them, he rehearsed the whole history of Israel and how that they were the conveyors of God's word and God's will to the world. And then he says, but you crucified the God of glory. And then they with all this murderous hate, they rushed upon him to kill. They could have rejected him. They could have walked off. But with hate in their hearts, they wanted to do him harm. They wanted to do him harm. Our Father, we send this message out to your people all over the world and to those people maybe that will become yours. Father, please forgive us where we fail you. Forgive me. And we remember all the prayer requests that we've had for Eva and for all the little children that are hurting all over the world, and are especially Christine's grandson, Owen. Father, please help them. All the people that are suffering with this coronavirus, I pray for them also. I pray that they get the vaccines out and that they will be safely administered to people, and that and the nation will be safe again. In Jesus' name, I ask all of these things.